Braindead Radio presents...
Supposedly, he was born in a mental institution, and he sleeps only 1 hour a night.
Ed Hawken.
You're crazy.
Let's rock.
I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit!
The Ed Hawken Show.
This is The Ed Hawken Show, episode Lucky 13.
Hey.
Yes, join me this week is actually a special guest. Randall's not here. No, I didn't actually kill him. He's just taking care of something right now. But I have with me a new guest, one Xander Jeanneret. Is that correct?
That's right. You got my name right.
Well, fantastic. Tell me a little bit about yourself, Xander.
Well, I'm an actor. I live out here in Hollywood, California. I just graduated from college last year, so this is my one-year anniversary, actually, this month of moving out here.
Wow. Where'd you graduate from school?
Luther College in Decorah, Iowa.
Hmm. I don't know if we have a Cal Lutheran down the road here, I think. What was that like? You're originally from the Midwest,
correct? Yep. I was from Wisconsin, like Appleton area, Appleton, Wisconsin.
Yes.
And then went to high school there, and then went out to Luther College in Iowa for a theater dance major.
Okay. Now you're basically as many of us who live in this fine city, while paying our outrageous rents and car insurance. You know,
student loans. Oh.
Yeah, thankfully I do not have to deal with student loans, but that's why I went to a state school. I've seen it on the degree on my wall.
Yeah, signed by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's right, actually. The beauty of a California education, as seen right here. So, anyway, yeah, you're the quintessential LA story. The kid, you know, coming from the Midwest, coming from, you know, out there. I ain't going to say in the middle of nowhere, because the onion came from Madison.
Right.
So,
That's true.
And I just read Nathan Raven's The Big Rewind, which is an amazing book. So I can't, and I love The Onion so very much.
Yeah.
So, but really, you came here to act, to try and make it in Hollywood.
Yep.
You know, as I said, it's just, you know, something we encounter all the time in L.A. And, you know, I can't speak for myself. I never really tried to make it in that way. I mean, everyone, I think, in L.A. has the attempt or dream to try and do something in Hollywood, whether, you know,
right,
be acting or trying to write. Hell, even my dad wrote a screenplay many, many years ago, and it never took off the ground. I know I tried to be and attempted to be a writer in high school, but that ended up being really crappy fan fiction. And then, for the hell of it, because I was experimenting in those college times, I actually took a theater class. And I learned I am not cut out for acting because I cannot memorize a damn line. I know I said this before in a previous episode, but yeah, I cannot memorize a line worth for the life of me.
It's definitely a skill you kind of need to have.
Yeah, and it's something, you know, you got to pride yourself on if you can do it.
Right.
But, you know, you're out there, you're trying, and, you know, more power to you if you make it, by all means.
Hey.
Exactly.
I was here first.
That's right. That's right. And then I could blackmail you with this episode later at a later time. Other than it'll hit on TMZ. Yes. But now you're obviously here trying to be an actor, what else are you trying to do? Or are you just mainly focusing on that?
Well, I mean, when you go through college, you have just this mindset of, okay, I am a theater major. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, you know? And when you finally graduate, you kind of have this mentality of, I'm an adult now. I am a professional actor. But you really don't get that until, like, I think of it as my first paid gig, which I've done before, so I think of myself as a professional actor.
Do you have a SAG card or not?
I do not! And I don't know if that's a big issue or not.
It wasn't True Romance, that's all I could say. So.
I try to get, you know, SAG eligible and things like that, but I'm finding a lot of work as a non-union actor. And, you know, it's so much money to join SAG, and you have to pay your dues and everything like that every year, that I don't really know if it's worth it to be part of SAG right now in my career, because I can always do non-union stuff, but once I join SAG, I can't. it's against.
Well, don't they have knockoff unions, or do you have any idea how that system works? Like, they have like some called AFTRA, or
that's not knockoff.
Well, like, see, the funny thing is, you have so many of these right. unions, and there actually is a reason. I mean,
yeah.
way back, you know, in the history of Hollywood, when that first started,
yeah.
there was such massive abuse
right.
by the studio heads.
Yeah.
There was a very legitimate reason,
mm-hmm.
and then, as I say in The Simpsons, then they got lazy and shiftless, but the Japanese didn't eat them alive this time. So. But no, there's a very good reason, and
yeah.
like I said, if you can make it, great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's certainly a grand experiment. You do what you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, with the union stuff, I think it's a really good thing that even that they're still around, because if you think of like an adult actor, someone who does this seriously as their profession
mm-hmm.
for their lives, you know, as a member of the union, you can qualify for like dental insurance, you're a part of a union,
mm-hmm.
you have, you know, guaranteed hours and things like that. I mean, I cannot see, you know, Harrison Ford, if he weren't famous, living like I do, you know,
right.
eating ramen noodles and going to audition after audition trying to get.
Well, Harrison Ford's been phoning it in for the past 15
yeah.
years, so. And then, frankly, with the amount of weed he probably smokes,
yeah.
it's.
You know, he.
Well, once again, he couldn't have the lifestyle he have with the amount of weed he smokes. So. But
yeah.
of course, to somehow nail Calista Flockhart, he's got to be
well,
hot.
He's married to her now.
He is, actually.
Legitimately.
I saw that. Yeah. Although, yeah, he had done some amazing work. I always liked him in Presumed Innocent.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if anyone ever saw that, but
nope.
it was really, really good.
Uh-huh.
And Raul Julia's in it, and man, that guy passed too early. But
uh-huh.
enough of my, you know, favorite Harrison Ford movies outside the obvious ones of Blade Runner and Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Oh,
Star
yes.
Wars.
Yeah, fans, people who know this show are aware I'm not a big Star Wars fan.
What? I quit. I'm out of here. No.
Yeah, and that's just because I never saw the original trilogy. I didn't see the movies until
Wait,
they re-released
them.
I've seen them. I saw
oh.
the re-released movies back in 97.
Uh-huh.
And I have this weird thing of not going for the popular thing unless I actually enjoy it. It's a weird defect I have. So
who shot first, Han or Guido?
Well, it'd be Han, obviously. I mean, I like Han. He's great. I just like, well, because he had the whole prequel thing, that kind of stained it all, and then the way
yeah.
Lucas makes money is just ridiculous.
Right.
I always would have loved to have seen the what if Lucas had, you know, shot Apocalypse Now.
Right.
I would have loved to have seen that. And he was actually going to go to Vietnam and shoot it guerrilla style to do that. And to me, just because, I mean, the guy seemed to have talent, I did like American Graffiti, and he just never branched from that. It always kind of bugged me. But he's got his billions of dollars, and I'm not even 100 air. So.
Yeah, I'm in that club.
But, yes, we all know how that feels.
Yeah.
But I know you have other things going on.
Yeah.
Do you not? Do you have a charity event or something like that going
yes,
on?
Yes, well, I've had a few charity events over the past couple of months. I'm going to Haiti, actually, in August.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with a group called Angel Care, and it's a friend of mine and I that are going, and we're trying to raise money to send us both to Haiti to help build a school. And how they're building the school is actually really cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking, like, this type of clay, and they have oil drums that they put in the middle of it, and they have this huge, like, dome. Like, I know it's a podcast, so they can't see, like, my hand gestures.
Right.
But I'm making a dome-like gesture
yes.
over my fist, which is the barrel.
Yes.
And they'll light it on fire, and it'll explode, and it'll make, like, this big dome building, because it hardens as it explodes. And it's supposed to be, like, earthquake-proof as well.
Hmm.
And so they use these to try to build their buildings now, and the project that's going on now is building a school.
Okay.
So we'd be going down to help with, like, construction and alleviate the efforts and things like that. So
okay.
everything that we're making right now is to help pay for, like, our flights down there, and we're going to be a self-sustained community, so we won't be taking any of their food or anything. So.
Okay, and if for anyone who's interested in donating,
yeah.
Where should they go? Is there a PayPal account set up, or how would they go about that?
There is not. There should be. But you can email me at xander, that's Xander, JE@gmail.com.
Okay. And
yeah.
you can get more information from there?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely make another mention of it at the end of the show to
yeah.
see if anyone who's interested, you know, why not? If they so happen, if they're feeling generous,
yep.
you know, they'll try and contact you. But
yep.
going back to trying to be an actor,
uh-huh.
you mentioned also, studying dance. Was
yeah.
there a particular form of dance, or was it, as I said in The Simpsons, 5 years of jazz and 3 years of tap?
Well, I mean, the school that I went to, it was a theater dance major. That's
mm-hmm.
what every theater major had to have. You couldn't, separate it at all.
Okay.
So the type of dance that I did, it was more of modern dance. We did what was called contact improvisation, where you have a group of people and it's a jam. Mm-hmm. So you do take a class and you learn how to fall and things like that, but
right.
you come up against the person, and once you make contact, you improvise the movement on top of that.
Mm.
And so it's just a group of people, you know, moving around and basically touching each other, but the contact is sensual, not sexual.
Well, of course not, because you're not going to be able to function if it's
yeah.
sexual.
Exactly.
You won't be able to move.
Yeah. But it ends up being more of, like, lifts and things like that, mm-hmm. so it gets to be really cool, and they would make pieces out of that. So we have that performance aspect of movement as well as, like, just theater and acting. And I found that it's really helped me in my career, you know,
mm-hmm.
to be able to move and know what my body's doing and be spatially aware of other
well,
people.
Well, there was an interesting thing, and I mentioned this on a previous episode. Mm-hmm. I had, Randall and I went to see RoboCop at the Arrow Theater down in Santa Monica, and Peter Weller was there, and he was talking
cool.
about a thing. And it was a very brilliant, you know, he's a professor, he's very professorial, it was great when he spoke.
Uh-huh.
Talking about when it comes to acting in this day and age, that there's the thing about moving uh-huh. while doing your lines, and that according to him, a lot of actors these days will just stand there and talk,
hmm.
you know, like kind of like a robot,
yeah.
and not do anything, but really they need to be doing something, and it takes real coordination to be... You know, knowing your lines and being able to do a certain motion.
Exactly.
You know, and just to get it all down. I mean, to me, this is why even when I watch, of all things, like did you see the Alejandro video for Lady Gaga? I have
no,
to use this as an example.
I've seen the other ones. Though,
right. Well, yeah. Well, this is way better than Telephone. Anyway.
Okay. Product placement.
No product placement in this one. But even just seeing dancers coordinated and synchronized
uh-huh.
like that impresses the living hell out of me.
Yeah.
So, just because of the amount of effort.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I can relate to that is that in that theater class I took in college,
mm-hmm.
we had to do this exercise, you probably are familiar with this, where you had to have your backs are turned to your partner,
uh-huh.
and then you had to basically do a set of motions,
uh-huh.
and it had to look like it was in sync. Now, obviously,
right.
you're not going to know what the other person's doing,
because yeah.
their back is turned,
yeah.
so you have to almost guess. I don't even know how it could be pulled off.
Yep.
So I don't know if you're familiar with that at all.
Are your backs touching?
No.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. I don't remember. Yeah, I think they were.
Because if the back's touching, then you try to read the movement by how their back feels, you know? Like, if my arm is raised, my shoulder blade's going to be
yeah.
in a different position. So you have to focus on that as well as your own movement. And
yeah, just carry off on what they're doing.
Exactly.
Works perfectly well when I'm in the clubs.
Yeah.
Anyway. But, you know, now you've because, you know, you provided some more information to me earlier. You've done other things other than acting, or has that mainly been it?
Yeah, well, coming out here, you know, I come from a theater background,
mm-hmm.
and when I graduated, I basically said, you know, I want to be an actor and I want to do acting. So either I can go on the theater route or I can do the film and TV route.
Now, what made you decide to say you decided to go with film and TV rather than theater?
Well, I've done theater, you know, my whole life.
Okay.
And so I've been on the stage since I was like 6 or 7 years old, you know, doing community theater and things
mm-hmm.
like that. And, basically, I know that I can do that, and I can fall back on that at any point, but I'd never done film or TV or anything related to, you know,
mm-hmm.
anything with a camera. So
okay.
I thought, you know, this is what I should be doing. You know, this is a good adventure. You know, I can come out and do this, and if I need to, I can fall back on the theater. So I basically said, like, I'm either going to move to New York or to Hollywood, and then Hollywood came knocking. So.
Okay. Well, I see. All right. Well, that's
yeah.
good, but... What other things have you done other than that, or you just your focus mainly has been on acting?
Well, I mean, I'm focusing on acting, but like I said, I have no training in the film industry at all.
Okay.
So when I first got out here, I was like, I need to find something where I can get more experience, you know, being either in front of the camera or behind the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I was interested in the whole industry, so it didn't even matter.
Right.
So I did a lot of PA work to try to make my rent, you know, because I didn't have a job or anything.
Okay.
And so that's personal assistant work.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Production assistant.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm on the set, you know, getting water and coffee for the actors and whatever, and being a part of just making a movie was so exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed that everyone was like, what are you, like, 15? Like, what are you doing here? I was like,
well, yes,
no, I
am.
Graduated from college, and this is so exciting. We're making a movie. And so, you know, I was so eager to go out and do the grunt work and to learn. And one thing I've learned in Hollywood is that everybody wants to be your teacher. So if you say, I'm inexperienced in this, can you teach me about
mm-hmm.
something? Everybody knows everything. So
well,
let me tell you.
I definitely like the stories. I mean, I was reading a great book, don't know if you heard, you know, if you ever watched Star Trek 2, but the guy who directed that, a guy named Nicholas Meyer, he wrote a book called A View from the Bridge, and this guy hasn't done he's mainly been a screenwriter. He has not done a lot of films, not in a while, but he wrote a book. I have it here in this very dingy apartment. You know, and once again, it's always the good stories, and there's always some great books, you know, about Hollywood. I mean, it can be a lot of inside baseball, as they say, but some of it's very, very good. And, you know, obviously there's, like, you know, Easy Rider's Raging Bulls, or, you know, The Kid Stays in the Picture, which I've never read. I saw the documentary. And some other stuff, you know. Plus, you got the NewBev here, which is amazing. I don't know if you've been there. Fantastic theater. $7 for a double feature.
Nice.
Yes.
I have to check that out.
Yeah, they're going
to
play all three Vacation movies this July 4th weekend. So
nice.
Chevy Chase triple feature right there.
I like
there.
The Christmas one.
Yes. But I know you, now when you're out there, you know, doing auditions and whatnot, I'd like to know, do you ever feel like, because this was when I was thinking about this, when you see some of the people out there, it's like, do you see people, like, making mistakes, or do you see people like, how could this guy get a positive comment? He didn't do shit! You know, does that ever happen, or do you just, you know, you're focusing on yourself entirely, and you don't keep an eye out on what the other person is doing?
It's like you mentioned before, memorizing lines is a skill that I happen to have. So whenever I get the sides for an audition, I'll sit in my apartment and I'll memorize the lines.
Okay.
So when I actually get to the audition, I know what I'm going to do already.
Okay.
And so, and it's weird because with the non-union actors, we'll see each other a lot.
Oh, okay.
Especially the ones that look kind of similar and we'll go for the similar roles.
There's always that classic thing of, like, the person trying out for the role.
Yeah.
There's, like, a room full of the same type
exactly,
of people.
Exactly, yeah. And then as you get older, you see they're getting older.
Yes.
Like, wait. But yeah, so I think it's so fascinating. If I can, normally the audition rooms are closed off.
Okay.
But sometimes there's like a window or something like that.
Oh.
I love to see.
So you never could see the other person, so you never get an idea of their work.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you do. Like I said, if there's a window or if there's like a crack under the door where you can hear them speaking.
So it's never like the thing, like that scene in Family Guy. It's like they bought Death Spares the Tiger.
Yeah.
He called the character John Everyman. So. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah,
now, I know I read also you've done modeling, I believe. How is that exactly?
Well, you know, out here it's all about connections, and through a friend, through a friend, through a friend, I got hooked up with this guy, Matthew Jordan Smith, and he's like a celebrity photographer.
Okay.
He was one of the first people to shoot Tyra Banks. He shot Oprah Winfrey, Ellen DeGeneres, da-da-da. And basically, on the side, I kind of do like video editing type of thing. And I said, I will edit some videos for you of the footage from your photo shoots if you want to do some headshots or modeling shots.
Right.
And he is such a nice guy. He's so down to earth. He's fantastic. And he's a good friend of mine now.
Oh, wow.
And so I got to do a bunch of photo shoots with him. And we've been using the ads. I brought props since I got to do my Wiimote and things like that. He's like, this is the first time I've had video games brought. And I was like,
wow.
So we did like Wii ads and things like that and makeup ads. And I work as like a receptionist and a translator at a hair salon. So I had like this whole team of Japanese hairstylists and makeup artists doing my hair and makeup for free.
That's
it was
amazing.
Such a good opportunity. It was a great day.
Now that's funny you mentioned, you know, working at a Japanese hair salon.
Yeah.
So, you know, how long did you go to Japan? How long were you there?
Yep, I lived in Japan for my junior year of college. I lived in Nagasaki, Japan. And before that, you know, I've studied the language for a bit, but really living in the country really solidified my hold on the Japanese language. And I had a host family and made friends, and, you know, Nagasaki's kind of out in the boonies. It's not Tokyo.
Right.
So nobody really speaks English out there. So you either learn Japanese or sit in your apartment and don't do anything.
Now it's funny you mention that. You were in we had another guest, Steve, actually. He had visited Japan. And he had mentioned being in Tokyo where he was talking about, and I was very surprised about this, that everything, well, he was in Tokyo once again,
right.
Everything, all the subways shut down at 10.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, what are you supposed to do for nightlife?
Yeah.
It's like, you have to get a cab? It's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that was the case.
It's funny. I went to Tokyo for the New Year's. I was there from 2007 to 2008. And for that New Year's, there were six of us gaijin, foreigners.
Yeah.
And we split up into groups of two, and we hitchhiked from Nagasaki to Tokyo. And Kyushu is the southernmost island that Nagasaki's on. So it took us like 18 hours, I think, to drive straight through to Tokyo. And we hitchhiked along the way. So I did get to spend some time in Tokyo. And yeah, especially for new, never forget this, going down into the subway station and seeing people crammed in, and then they brought out these big metal pushers. They looked like window wipers, but huge. And they would shove people into these trains.
Yeah.
And you would just be, you would be like off the floor because right. you're crammed in so tight, shoulder to shoulder. And then, like, once the train started moving, everybody would lean one way. And then if it stopped, we'd all lean the other
way. It's basically a version of being trapped in a pit.
Exactly. Or like a can, you know, like wow. sardines in a can.
Well, I don't have any, you know, plans to go to Japan anytime soon. But
well, but it's awesome.
I imagine it is. And it certainly will be more interesting than Lost in Translation.
Oh, no. I love that movie so much.
The movie was boring.
Oh, no. Anything by Focus Features, I pretty much love.
Well, that's the studio's one thing.
Yeah,
that
movie but still, was Bill Murray.
Well, Bill Murray was good.
Scarlett Johansson. Oh, I just.
But
they,
nothing,
that
nothing was happening. That's the thing. Yeah. Nothing happened in that movie. It was not even. I mean, I liked, you know, Japan looked pretty, but yeah. nothing was really happening. So
it's such a good portrayal of like a celebrity, an American celebrity visiting Japan and what they have to go through and things
right.
like that.
You didn't have any of that where you're like towered over everybody.
Oh yeah, I did.
Oh okay.
Oh yeah.
And you try to cram yourself in the small shower and
yes, heads like come off so you can shower okay. yourself. But I was actually in a dance group called Yosekoi, and it's mm-hmm. it's a type of like festival dance.
Okay.
And the group that I was in had 100 people. And they were all at least a head shorter than me. Not only was I taller than them, but at the time I had like black hair with a blonde mohawk.
Hmm.
So I was like 3 inches taller. And I'm 6'2", so I'm taller already. And but we would sit there and we'd have to do like squats and stuff like that. And I would have to get so much lower than everybody
right.
else.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, but it was awesome. I loved it.
It kind of reminds me, I was listening to this one thing on NPR. It was this white guy. He was from the Midwest. He actually went to China, and uh-huh. he was in the theater there. He basically uh-huh. was like a burly guy, shock obviously, and he was
yeah.
doing the same similar stuff, not squatting, but
yeah.
doing all this, you know, great Chinese opera, and he,
oh.
he was playing like this judge and all this stuff. But that uh-huh. that is now I have to ask because these are two requisite questions
uh-huh.
For anyone who's been to Japan.
Okay,
first off, how were the beer vending machines?
They're awesome. You can drink in public, and so, like, all the vending machines that have different alcoholic stuff, you just... When I was there, they were making a renovation where you had to have a specific card. So they did have something, so you have to be over 20, which is the age there. And then you swipe your card, and then you can put your money in and get a beer or whatever.
Okay.
But we would have parties in parks and stuff like that, and I don't know why we don't do that here, because it was so awesome.
Well, we can't have public drinking. You can
exactly.
only do that in Las Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been to Las Vegas.
Me
There's
too,
no
yeah.
reason to go over there. So now, the other thing is, because we have to get this stereotype out of the way,
uh-huh.
were there any vending machines that sold used underwear?
Used underwear. Not that I saw. The weirdest vending machine that I saw sold canned bread. And it was a can that you brought it out. Of course, I bought one.
Yeah.
And it's like you flick the can open. It's like, and it just like decompresses this like piece of bread.
Well, isn't it like those cans of biscuits you get from the grocery stores? Anything like that, or
yeah,
is it literally?
Except it expands. Like it's this little piece of bread, like bread dough or something. Like
right.
that, and it just expands as soon as you open it.
Huh.
It's like an airtight can.
Not since cheeseburger in a can have I heard of it, which is also a real product, and it's absolutely horrifying. I
Candy
read on the AV Club, actually, and it was absolutely disgusting, but I never heard of... I've heard of the square watermelon.
Yes! Yep.
But
super expensive, by the way.
Yeah, which is like, all they did was, you take a watermelon as it grows, you put a basket around it,
yeah.
it becomes square.
Yep. And
so then I can
to
make
put in the refrigerator.
Yeah, I can cut make slices of much easier to, you know, have a loaf of watermelon.
Yep,
so
yep.
I had seen it, but I never bought one. I've never been to Asia, so I suppose at some point I could check it out, but
yeah.
it's just not. I'd rather try to get to Europe first.
Right.
But now going back to acting, uh-huh. when you're out there, when you're out there auditioning, you know,
uh-huh.
you're trying to get any work you can.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like when you're out there looking for a job? You know, it's like you're doing something. It's like, why am I doing this? I'm totally slumming it. And
uh-huh.
it's like, do you still? It's like, you know what though? This is an opportunity. I'm gonna give it my all, even though I know what I'm doing is absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
Or do you just sometimes like, I'm just not feeling. You know, I just can't do it.
Uh-huh.
You're just gonna phone it in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what do you feel about? You know, it's like, does that ever happen with you? Or?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it does for every actor. But I mean, you go out there and you try to do every job that you audition for, everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you never know what's gonna stick.
Except
you know?
For porn, I assume.
Well,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I haven't.
You
done
never,
that
you
yet.
Never had that where you accidentally walked into a. porn audition?
No.
This is some kind of shampoo commercial, right?
Oh, wait. No. That's never happened to me, fortunately, because most of the time, you know, I look relatively young, so I audition for a lot of, like, high schoolers and things like that, mm-hmm. and I have kind of, like, a geeky quality, so I do a lot of those.
Well, you'd definitely be able to pull it off. I mean, hell, if that mm-hmm. as I mentioned this in the last episode, if that dude with a mohawk and Glee who's a year older
yes.
than me...
Yeah.
I mean, he could pull
sailing.
It off. Yeah.
So. I mean, who's that?
Well, I never follow... I have barely followed the show.
I love Glee.
Well, it's like I've said before, it's a good... Well, I've never really paid attention to the plot, but it seems like a good, wholesome show.
Yeah.
I think.
It's, yeah.
It's still better than Degrassi, but...
I never saw that.
You don't want to see Degrassi. Or its British equivalent known as Skins. It's that show is ridiculous.
Okay.
So, if you... I mean, although... you may want to... It's something, I'll give it that. But, you know, going... Crap.
Sailing.
Yeah, well, not so much that, but I guess, you know, it's a fine show. The only reason I keep bringing up Glee is because I know there's this one guy I mentioned before who's on the AV Club, and I've kind of stopped doing it because the joke got old, but it's like, who has such a mad crush on Chris Colfer. It's very, I just find it funny.
Oh,
I'm not making fun of it, but it's like, it's just funny because it does bring up.
Chris Colfer, I saw him because I was doing like PA stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for a film festival at Sunset and Gower.
Okay.
At the studios out there, and he did a movie before Glee came out called Russell Fish and the Sausage and Eggs Incident or something like that.
Right.
And I actually saw that, and he was there, so I've met him.
He seems like a very small guy.
Yeah. And I saw the film and I was like, who is this kid with this ridiculously high voice? Like,
yes.
it was just bizarre. But he fits so well into the show.
Right, you know? Right. As I've said it before on that show, because I have seen some of it, it's like, you know, I don't know where the hell is he getting the money for those clothes? It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
He had a pocket watch, for crying out loud. This is outrageous.
It's fiction. It's TV.
Yes.
It's
there's no American... Well, no. I'd be happier if there's an American Apparel nearby, but that's just me. Now, in terms of going back to auditioning...
Yeah.
If there was... Do you have your... I guess your... Any particular moments you'd like to talk about when you've done your auditioning, that stuff that you'd really, you know, stick out in your mind, for better or worse, you want to go on about?
Well, when you first start out, there's a lot of recommendations to do, like, student films,
because mm-hmm.
there are a lot of people out there, you know, they'll tape you and they'll do it for their school projects, and then you probably will never see it again. But
yeah.
if you do it, it's good for your reel to put together, you know. So I auditioned for a few student films, and I got so excited because it was the first thing that I had done. And they, film students, if you're listening to this, stop being so pretentious.
That's not going to happen. They're film students.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You get in there, and I'm like, I am an actor, and I'm here to help you make a project for your grade. And they'll sit there, and they'll just, like, tear you to pieces. Way meaner than any, like, professional audition that I've been to. And, like, I've auditioned for Warner Brothers and stuff like that, and student auditions are just awful. You know, they'll sit there and they'll have you do it 8 different ways, and then you're still not good enough, and they will say that to your face.
Did anyone ever act like Max Fisher from Rushmore?
Oh, yes! Yes! I am making a film, and you are not artistic enough to be in it. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I love that movie, by the way.
I haven't seen it in a while, but I definitely enjoy Max Fisher's Serpico,
yeah.
So...
But yeah, student. I've refused to go on student film auditions anymore. Like,
mm-hmm.
if a student contacts me because he found me or whatever, I'll go in and do a project. But I won't audition for film students anymore.
Okay. Now, didn't you have some other stuff? Like, you once didn't you? You had told me this off air. You had tried out to become a Power Ranger, I believe.
Yeah.
How did that go?
recently, you know, Power Rangers was bought back by Saban, and it's going to be put on Nickelodeon.
I can't believe they're rebooting it after it just ended. What is there to reboot, because there's never continuity to begin with?
Oh, it's
show.
So awesome. Like, it's been my dream since I was a kid to be a Power Ranger. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, I love the show so much. And so I saw that breakdown, and I flipped out, like, in my apartment. I ran laps. I was like, oh, they're casting Power Rangers. Oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. So I clicked on and I auditioned, or I put in my submission to audition.
Okay.
Which includes, like, my headshot, and I wrote a long note, and then they were accepting physical submissions as well, so I printed off new headshots, I attached my resume, and I wrote a big cover letter, like, I'm so interested in this, you know, I really want to do it,
mm-hmm.
and sent it off to them. And they were really nice because they contacted me back.
Wow.
And that normally doesn't happen, especially for, like, big auditions. And they told me that I was too tall. They were looking for someone, you know, at least 5'10 and under. And like I said before, I'm 6'2". They're using the Japanese costumes, and they're using some of the footage from the Japanese show.
Right.
And so they have to coordinate with how tall the actors are with not only the other actors, but also, like, how it'll look. It was awful. I was so depressed.
What color would you have gone for?
Well, my favorite color growing up was the Blue Ranger, because he was geeky, but he still kicked ass, you know.
But he wore overalls.
But he wore overalls, which was okay in, like, the 90s.
Yes.
But
The funny thing is, and you had told me this off air, because I didn't remember, it was like that, he was not a martial arts guy, he was a gymnast.
He was a gymnast, which you wouldn't think, because he was so geeky on the show, but he was...
Actually, that makes perfect sense when you think about
it. Yeah, I guess. But in this new reincarnation of...
They're going to be all MMA fighters.
Yeah, yeah, I wish. No, the Green Ranger seemed to be the one that was more, like, resourceful and not really, like, super hardcore martial arts, so mm-hmm. that's what I wanted to try out for.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Did they, if you had auditioned, would you have gone, like, I'm going to go for this color, or...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It said specifically, like, the Green Ranger is resourceful and funny and da-da-da, and the Gold Ranger is this and this, so...
Yeah, they don't have anyone for the dejected, somewhat maybe witty ranger. He's not going to do anything. He's just going to be in the corner.
Yeah, no.
That would be me. I can't even say somewhat witty. I have to let the people decide on that. I don't even think I'm doing a good job, but...
There was actually some controversy about this casting, because for all of the Rangers, it said, like, any ethnicity, except for the leader, the Red Ranger, it said, must be Caucasian.
Hmm.
And people were like, oh, you have to have a Caucasian leader, da-da-da. So.
Didn't they have, so they had the common decency this time not to cast the color by the race of the
Yellow
player.
Ranger's Asian, and the Black Ranger is black.
Yes, and the Pink Ranger, well, the Pink Ranger would have to be a girl, so.
Yeah, but...
It'd be a little, it kind of reminds me of this College Humor video I once saw where they actually had a, where it was like Zordon was like a complete racist, and it was like a gay Jew. What are you kidding me?
I saw like a spoof of Power Rangers where they have one of the guys from Dollhouse. He was in it.
No kidding. Yeah. I never watched Dollhouse.
Oh, so good.
Where
I
was
love
this?
Joss Whedon. I think it was on like Funny or Die or Break the Time or something like that. I spent too much time watching.
Well, I love
videos.
Funny or Die. They just had a great thing with the iPhone 4 with Adam Scott and one of the McPoyles from It's Always Sunny. Because I don't know if you ever watched Party Down.
No.
So, it's a fantastic show.
Oh, I should.
It's on InstaView on Netflix.
Oh, okay. So I do have Netflix.
You don't even need to... First season's... I think first and second season's already on there, so you have no trouble getting access to it. But... So would that be, if you were to be a Power Ranger, would that would have been your choice audition to go for, I guess?
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would have definitely, you know, if you had the ability to go for, what would you go for in terms of complete, you know, fantasy casting, I suppose?
Oh, man, the thing is, like, if you had asked me this before the breakdown for Power Rangers, I still would have said I would love to be a Power Ranger. You know, and it was just such a perfect opportunity because it films in New Zealand and they pay for everything and you get paid. I would still have said I would love to be a Power Ranger someday.
Well, then you get to also be in New Zealand. So.
Exactly, yeah. I just have to get shorter. I'll get surgery or something.
Well, you can do what the reverse of what they did in Gattaca. They would just...
or
they'll saw you down.
Ah!
Yeah,
but,
right.
But, you know, I do speak Japanese, so I could go and audition for, like, the original Japanese... Power Ranger Super Sentai, which it's based off of.
Is that show still going on?
Yeah, that's what they based the American.
That show must have been going on for like 35 years now.
Yeah, it started in like the 80s.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And I briefly remember seeing that show. I think there used to be where I used to live, there were some Korean neighbors, and I think they had tapes or something. I didn't know what I was watching. So, and then it hit 93. Now, I had said this off air. Is like, and they never did. Is that Bulk and Skull should have been? They should have been Rangers. They never went with that.
Nah.
I mean, I can't even get excited for this, but it was obvious that they should have.
I don't know if they could make the Rangers suit big enough for Bulk.
Well, yeah, they never had a fat guy actually.
No,
you know that's
they should. That's discriminatory.
Well, it always kind of led
fat Ranger.
Yeah, right. That someone had once asked on another on another podcast of, like, could you actually have had a fat action hero and not bring attention to the fact he was fat? And they said it was not possible because unless it was a comedy, you would have to make note of the fact, yeah, he's kind of fat. So,
well, I think of, like, Nick Frost in Shaun of the Dead. Like, we never addressed that he was fat, really. But they both were kind of slobs.
But it's not an action film. That's
it's so an action film. I mean,
well, Hot Fuzz was an action film.
Yeah, exactly.
But then they constantly referred to the fact he was fat.
That's true.
So... I don't necessarily know if it'd be possible, but in terms of me, if I had if I actually had any of the acting ability, well, originally I would always want to be in Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, yeah.
as the host with my own jumpsuit. Oh, I would have. That was my dream job when I first came across that show. I was 12. Uh-huh. Between that and watching Quantum Leap, that was the summer of 1995.
I remember Quantum Leap. My mom was obsessed with that show.
It wasn't a bad show, especially for its lack of budget and all that. It was very, very good. To me, it was very good. Way better than Sliders.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to be on Mystery Science Theater 3000. And then the other thing, and then I get ragged about this on the Brain Dead Radio boards over at forums.braindeadradio.com, because I really enjoy Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't, I don't think I could ever be, obviously, because I like to think I can relate to the Doctor. Why? Because he's a loner, and then he just goes around doing his own thing,
right,
while dressing kind of oddly. He's like, I can relate to this.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that the new Doctor is exactly a year older than me.
Oh.
So it's like, oh, look at that.
Yeah, you could have done it.
Yeah, well, no way.
You're
but
not
there's not going to, there's no American Doctor. There'll be the fraud. That's all that England's got.
Right.
And if they had an
American.
Well, yeah, the giant pepper pot. And always a long-running joke with the Dalek was that it could never go upstairs. And when I first came across
like the zombies in Resident Evil.
Yeah, and then in the revived series, they had the first season. They just it can't go upstairs, and then it just slowly rose on little rockets, and it would just go up the stairs, and it's like, oh, fuck, we're done for now. So I always would love to see that. I mean, I went to a fan convention once, although I did it for a few hours and I was really, really bored. Did I dress up? Yes.
Yeah.
I still have the 10th Doctor suit. I mentioned this in an earlier episode. Back when we had a government stimulus a couple of years ago, we'd all got $500. That's what I spent the money on. So
not living or rent or.
Well, somehow I can pay the rent. So. Based on my swarthy Latin charms, but
I saw an awesome costume based on Doctor Who. By the way, there was one episode where I have the angels and they'll move.
Yeah, that's the episode Blink.
Yeah, exactly. Someone did that. Like she had like stone makeup on and she constructed the whole costume and she would go around and like freeze in places and scare the crap out of people.
Yeah, no, that's an amazing episode actually.
Yeah.
To me, that episode. You would show that to anyone who's never familiar with the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because it's such a great standalone episode. Mm-hmm. I recently came across Battlestar after the couple of years, and someone talked about the opening episode, which is called 33, and it was like, oh, this is a great introductory episode because you get the whole show, and it's a perfect self-contained story.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like I actually dressed up for it, and then this weekend is the anime convention,
right?
And I'm not going to dress up for that because I don't have any time, and I don't really follow anime that much. I came across it in college, and I know there was a time when I talked about it. I used to go to the college anime club until I was asked to leave.
Wow.
So that was not the most pleasant people to be around with.
Uh-huh.
So it was every so often I'll try to find a show that will be interesting.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, I haven't found anything lately.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last thing, as I've said before, is I saw the entire series of Death Note. That was great.
I love Death Note, yeah.
Yeah, the last episode was some great payoff. The rest of it can be a big chess match.
But that's the concept of the show, too.
It is, and but it's some episodes do drag a little bit. Others are very, very good. But the last episode is where all the payoff is.
Right.
Because basically, for those of you that don't follow the show, it's like there's this guy named Light. He finds his notebook that can kill people.
Yeah.
And, I like the dubbing. The voices were pretty good.
Oh, I never watch anything dubbed.
I actually like the dubbing. What are you kidding me? The best example is Cowboy Bebop.
That was a good dub.
I know briefly it's like I wanted to do voice acting. It was like, oh, I want to get in on that.
I would love to do that.
Yeah.
I actually had an audition for an Xbox game. And I thought I nailed it, and I still possibly could have nailed it. I haven't heard back from them yet, but they really liked me in the audience.
What was the name of the game, or do you have the...
Sequence. Yeah.
No, I don't think it's been released then. I haven't heard
No. It's still in development stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it's just like an Xbox Live type of thing.
Yeah. So. Still, it's something, though, to put on the resume. That's the one thing to note.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you had the whole thing with, Death Note and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, really, you don't like dubbing at all?
No. I mean, I'm a fan. Like, I speak Japanese, so I love hearing the actors in Japanese. You know, I think it's so interesting, and it's good for me to practice and you know, listen to the intonation and stuff. And I think that they're so much better. I mean, it's come a long way since like Sailor Moon or whatever, where it was just ridiculous. But yeah, definitely subtitled or even just Japanese is the way to go.
That's amazing. Yeah, that truly is. I mean, some of the stuff could be in Japanese. That's fine. Some stuff I've come across is only in Japanese. Also, if the American voices are just god awful, I'd rather listen to subtitle. Best example of that, when I was in this anime club, we watched something called Excel Saga.
Oh yeah.
And the dubbed voices were so god awful.
Yeah, because that was like from the 80s or 90s, like around
90s, because it was too good looking to be 80s.
Right.
It was really grating. Although I actually saw the last episode. This was right before. You know, back before the days of YouTube, you had Kazaa, and you had to download your episodes. And I never... It was such bizarre stuff to watch.
Well, with Excel Saga or something like that, there are so many inside jokes that it's awesome to watch in Japanese, but if you translate it, it just doesn't translate into English.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. And as I said, the American voices are so grating that it's just not worth it. I know there are a lot of other animes. I mean, for me... It's tough because I can't get into the. I mean, I know there's some good samurai stuff out there.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like Rory Kenshin or something like that.
I'm not really a fan of that. That's more like fangirl stuff. Where they're
really?
Rory Kenshin.
So you're not a fan of Inuyasha then?
No.
Okay.
Same thing.
The big cat, the cat ears.
I'm probably going to get like speared for saying that it's girly, but.
there's no one here that likes anime anyway.
Oh, okay,
so.
Cool. Yeah. I've been obsessed with One Piece recently.
What was that?
It's a pirate one. It's just like this group of pirates. It's so good. It's so funny. And
it's not dealing with like a rubber-armed kid, is it?
Yeah.
Now, it's funny you mention that, because when I was at that anime club, this was back in like 2002, we saw footage of this. And I don't remember anything of it, but yeah, I remember then it would show up on Fox years later.
Ugh. But I hate, like, it's like four kids or something like that. They take these awesome anime and they just mutilate it. And it's aiming at American kids, which are totally different than Japanese kids, you know. But it's just
less seizure inducing.
So dumbed down. Yeah. Oh, Pokemon.
Yes. Can't believe that show's still going on.
I can. It's really appealing. You know?
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. That show is the new Scooby-Doo because every episode is the same.
Yeah.
Literally every...
Power Rangers, again, is so formulaic. We're talking about kids' show today. So.
Oh, that's true. What kids' show was not really formulaic?
It's got to be for them to follow it and to stay engaged. I know what's going to happen, but it's going to be awesome.
Right.
You know?
Just it's going to follow its beats.
Exactly.
No, and then there's all, like, the knockoff shows, which is, we've all watched some of those knockoff shows. I remember, with Pokemon, I know I've said this before, you remember Digimon, right? Yeah, that's not even worth talking about.
The end.
Yes, exactly.
And,
moving
like, Yu-Gi-Oh! And stuff like
that. Yeah, it was the whole card game thing. There was a guy in my dorm, played the card game.
Oh, nice.
And then
Magic. So.
I never played Magic. Mm. I played Overpower, which was the knockoff Marvel card game. And I would watch people play Magic, and I never could follow it.
Once you have like the basic rules down, then you have to just keep up with the cards. It just gets kind of confusing.
And I just like I'm not wasting my money on this. So instead, I just follow the World Cup instead.
But
other than that, what would you say is your favorite anime?
My favorite anime by far is Naruto, the one that deals with things.
No kid.
Yes.
We actually I don't want to reference other shows, but there's a certain individual on the other show of this fine network that is a big Naruto fan. And when I was in college, my roommate who had, once again, before the times of YouTube where everything had to be burned off of Kazaa and other P2P networks, he had every Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball GT, and Dragon Ball Z episode, and then he got into Naruto, which is like hundreds of episodes.
Yeah, it's still going on.
Still going on.
Like, I actually watched the new one today.
Oh, man. To me, it's like... Hulu. I don't know how you do it where you have a show with literally hundreds of episodes. To me, it's like, it's just too much.
But it's funny because I started watching it in, like, the seventh grade. So I've been watching it, you know, since it first came out, so it's just like an everyday thing, you know. There was a while where they had, like, a time skip and they tried to fill it in because it got too close to the manga, the comic book form. And so they had to give him time to write it and go forward, so there's just crap episode after crap episode. But... especially since I've been following it for so long, recently one of the characters just died that's been it from the beginning. And I'm like, he's dead. You know, I've been following this guy since I was a kid, and now he's dead.
For the just in case of spoilers, yeah. Was it the one with the underwear on his head?
No.
Okay, then that ends our spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Well, not really, because I had to confirm that. So
underwear on the head.
I don't know. There's a kind of a fat kid with a looks like he has
briefs
on his head.
Oh yes, yeah, Toji.
Yeah, that's it.
He kind of dies, but no.
Oh, okay, so he's not dead yet.
No, he's still alive and kicking and still fat.
To me, it's like, just like I said, you have a show with hundreds of episodes. Like, how do you stay interested without getting, like, it's never going to end. There's no conclusion.
Mm.
To me, it's like, I'd rather, it's better for a show to be excellent. As much as it sucks that it ends, it's ended in it's had quality.
Yeah.
Every episode is gold.
Yeah.
You know where it starts and ends.
Right.
And to me, it's like when you have a show that never ends,
uh-huh.
There's no way, you can't really get invested into it too much, just because, like, there's some big thing happening on, but you know it's going to change eventually anyway, back to the way it was. It's like The Simpsons.
Yeah.
So how do you maintain that, you know?
Well, I mean, it's the same way someone can get addicted to, like, The Simpsons or, like, Family Guy or something like that. Like, there's something about it, either the humor or the quality of it that
don't you feel, though, that, like, the mark of quality will definitely, there's a big decline?
I would go back and, like, watch some of the first episodes, and you see, like, an increase in the quality of animation, but it's less, like, handmade, you know, it's more manufactured type of thing. You know that there's this overlying storyline, and there's, like, this hint of an end that will keep on going, because it's all about this kid's, like, journey to get to be, like, the number one. So you know that that's the end, but it's all of these encounters that he has to do to get it. And that's with any of these anime that are long-running.
Yeah.
It's always this journey of some character.
But it just seems like it's never-ending.
It seems that way, yeah. And I bet it will end, you know.
When the ratings drop off.
When the ratings drop and it's canceled. And any
other ones you like that are, you know, a little bit shorter in length, I would say? Or did you ever understand the ending of Akira?
Akira is so cool. That's one of the first, you know, anime that came out for a mainstream and as a movie.
That was a huge thing.
Huge.
I'll give it for the fact that, that's the thing about anime is that the art is beautiful, but the stories can be such trash.
You know? That's not for kids.
No. But no one understands the ending, and I've been told repeatedly you have to read the manga.
The manga is super long,
it's multi-volume.
Too. Yeah.
It really, you know... It's like, does anyone want to spend the time trying to read this thing? I'm sure it's great, but is it, you know, it's like, does anyone really want to have the time to try and get that much invested?
But I mean, if you do it a little bit at a time, it's like with anything, you know, reading a novella or something like that, or a series of books, you know, or watching a TV series, you know, it's just an investment.
And I know going back to the anime convention, I know there's going to be like a lot of like cosplay going on. If there was any character you were to cosplay as, what would you go as?
Oh.
And you're going to have to be descriptive for most of our audience, because they don't know anything about anime.
Well, I mean, this kind of counts as like the anime video game kind of...
Yeah, it falls into that too.
I love Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
And so I would go as that main character, Sora, from Kingdom Hearts.
And describe Sora.
He's got like spiky brown hair, and he's got like huge shoes, and that's like a huge drawing point because I have big feet. And so,
isn't he the guy with like a huge key?
He's got a huge key. Yeah, that's what he uses as a weapon.
Mm.
But especially in the second game, just some of his costumes just really kick ass. It's
Better than Cloud from Final Fantasy. Has the giant sword.
Giant sword. Yeah.
I remember I was in an industrial club one night, and there was some guy, and he had the armor on and everything. And it was
nice.
Like,
was it like this side armor was just
with the one shoulder guard, which makes no sense.
Didn't you know that in anime, the less you wear, the more you're protected? So like, the less armor that you wear, especially if you're a girl character, the less you'll get hurt.
You may have explained the entire concept of Witchblade,
exactly,
because that's the only way that the comic still doesn't make any sense. But so he didn't have I don't think he had a sword with him, but he had he was down and everything, and they got a picture of him and everything.
Nice. Spiky hair and all.
Oh yeah, the whole deal, except without the giant sword. Because I have to hand to the, you know, there was a recent thing there's like a coffee table book about cosplayers, and like,
yes, the guy I was talking about, Matthew Jordan Smith, he's friends with the guy who did that.
Yeah, and it's very. I mean, he was talking to people that are very rational, you know.
Yeah.
And they talk about how, I mean, that's the thing, when you're dressed up like that with a lot of accessories, it can be kind of a pain in the ass.
Kind of, yeah.
Because you got to carry that stuff.
Right.
And there's the one guy who's Porco Rosco, and all he is he's got the pig nose and sunglasses, but he can't hear anything with the flight cap. And then the other problem is that because the costumes are so detailed, it's really difficult to find specific things.
Right.
I can only relate to, going back to that Doctor Who fan convention, when I ran into a bunch of guys that were dressed up as the various incarnations of the Doctor, and they would talk about how, for those costumes, only when they revived the series, the outfit would be a little bit easier to blend in. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, it was just stuff that always stuck out, so it was like really difficult to put together.
Right.
And it really amazed me. And then for the cosplayers, it's like, well, I mean, a lot of this stuff defies the laws of physics.
Right.
So, not to mention,
how do you do that?
Yeah, or have the body type, which right. will not exist, or the hair, which you have to get a wig.
Right. I mean, that's kind of the challenge of it, too, is like, how can I make this look the best that I can with still being true to the character, still being true to the intention of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. I love dressing up in any sense, you know, for Halloween or just everyday. Like, we used to get dressed up to go to premieres of movies in Wisconsin, you know?
You mean put on a tux and all that?
No. I mean, like, dress as characters from the movie. Hmm. Like, when X-Men premiered, we went as our favorite X-Men. Or when Batman premiered, we went as, like, different characters from Batman.
Wait, when The Dark Knight came out, you weren't wearing, like, the one of, like, you know, 10 billion that went as the Joker, did you?
No, I didn't go to that premiere, but it was the first one.
Batman Begins?
Batman Begins, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We went, like,
did you go to a midnight showing?
Ninjas and stuff like that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That's how it has to go.
Did any of your friends go as the Adam West Batman, which is probably the best Batman to dress up as?
That would have taken, like, you would actually buy the costume.
For some reason, when I always see that, some guy dressed up as the Adam West Batman, that'll crack me up. Just because, once again, he has the eyebrows on the cowl.
I still use, like, the phrases, like, holy something, Batman, that was something.
Yes.
It comes in handy so many times.
Still can't believe they actually, I don't know if you heard about that, they did the porn version of the 1960s Batman.
No, I never heard of that.
And it's period specific. In fact, I hear the actor who plays the Adam West character does not even break Adam West character. He stays in that character while he's getting the job done, if you know what
That's
I mean.
That's awesome.
As for me, I've never really, I mean, there's stuff sometimes I'll think about doing, you know, the cosplaying thing, but it's like, for me, it's a matter of practicality, and I mean, for this anime thing, it's like, I don't, and also, because, I mean, a lot of that can add up in terms of expense, especially if you want to do it right.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm like, I don't really want to do anything. I briefly considered, and I know for you listeners out there, you're probably laughing your asses off already, I briefly considered going as L from Death Note, but I realized, he is... You know, he's kind of, you know, crunched
slouched,
up.
Yeah,
he's slouched. It's like, this is going to ruin my back. And on top of that, he's barefoot. I can't walk around barefoot.
Yeah.
And he's always scrunched.
Right.
So it's like, this isn't going to work at all.
Yeah.
So I had to sit back down. And unless you're like a six-year-old kid, you can't go as, what was the white-haired kid's name? Shoot.
Oh,
was,
I don't even remember.
I know it was like, this is Fail Watch all over again.
No.
Fail Watch for not knowing what that blonde kid's name was. I know that the blonde was named Mellow. They always like candy bars.
Mellow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's also a playoff of you say like metal if you like love someone or like love
really
love type of thing.
Because he didn't love anyone. He was supposed to be the hard ass in that show when he showed up. You know, towards the end of the show, but
maybe it's like marshmallow type of thing.
I have no idea. It's just one of those odd things in regards to anime, which makes no sense. I will say that Ghost in the Shell 2 sucked horribly. That movie made me mad.
I remember, though, like, when I was younger, seeing the first Ghost in the Shell in, like, a blockbuster.
First Ghost in the Shell was very good. I was
like,
very surprised.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I remember being like, I can't watch that movie. There were, like, boobs in it. You know? Like,
not really.
That's not a cartoon. But on the cover type of thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember guys in middle school had the t-shirt.
Yeah.
And, I said this to someone else on the show that the scene I love the most, and you probably know what I'm talking about, is when, I keep forgetting her name, but I know it's a major, she's on the tank, and she's trying to rip the tank door open. Mm-hmm. Well, she's got so much force, it pretty much blows out her system.
Yeah.
It's so nuts.
Yeah.
And, I can't think of much else. I mean, in terms of... I know there was once an anime I discovered called Phantom Quest Corp, which was like a Japanese Ghostbusters. It was only four episodes long.
I never heard of it.
It featured a female lead. They always have no money. Par for the course for any anime. There's a 12-year-old assistant who knows what's going on. And a Mulder-like dude. And once again, it's only four episodes long, and I have no idea why. But yeah, it was the first thing I ever saw, and I dug the hell out of it. And this was like in 2000.
Nice.
And... I eventually bought... It was, like, one of the first DVDs I ever bought.
Oh, cool.
I remember even watching it on Laserdiscs. So...
If there's one that I could recommend, though, it'd definitely be called Serial Experiments Lane. That's kind of like a mind-blowing one.
I think I've heard of this one.
Yeah, she's like, she's just this normal Japanese girl, just really introverted, and she doesn't have any friends or anything like that. And this
Oh, no, I've definitely heard of this. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen the AMVs.
Exactly.
They're all set to Linkin Park.
Right, yeah. A girl, like, talks to her, and then she commits suicide, and then she finds this girl that supposedly died, like, online, like, in this computer thing. So she just gets obsessed with computers and, like, connecting to people, and how are we all connected, and is there a God? Is God on the internet, you know? It's so mind-blowing. It's so good. And the animation is gorgeous.
Right. Is it anything like the nonsense of FLCL?
Oh, Furikuri is so good. It's not nonsense. That's amazing.
Some guy with detachable eyebrows on that show.
Yeah, they're like protectors for him. They serve a purpose.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you consider that show like the Twin Peaks of anime? Because it just makes no sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense, but it makes sense to who? I think it's so crazy that it can make sense to anybody. You know, you take what you want from it. The guy with the eyebrows, like, the girl is an alien, and she, like, takes things out of humans' heads. Like, they're kind of, like, dimensional.
She's got a razor blade guitar.
Well, yeah, it's just a regular guitar that she hits the people with.
I thought it had a gas-powered engine.
Oh, yeah, that too. But, okay. But she uses heads as, like, a gateway for other dimensions. And so when he wears those eyebrows, like, she can't do anything to him.
This is Twin Peaks, basically.
Yeah.
It's basically, yeah, if...
Yeah.
I would agree. This is essentially Twin Peaks. The only other anime I saw recently that I enjoyed a lot was Black Lagoon, which I don't know if you ever saw.
No,
I enjoyed that one.
I've
that was pretty good. That was pretty good. I think the only other thing this was back in college, I dug was Outlaw Star.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever watch that?
Yep.
My roommate at the time, I don't know if you remember those characters, if you remember the Brothers McDougal, he unfortunately would call me that and I would get pissed off. It'd be quite irritating. Although we kept trying to figure out if, like, on the lead character of Outlaw Star, if those were, you know, because he had the star tattoo, right?
Yeah.
What were those marks? Were those scars? The intentionally scarves?
Yeah.
On his body. It didn't make any sense.
Right.
What were
scars.
Those things?
He just
intentionally
tough.
Scarred himself.
Maybe.
But they were so decorative.
Yeah.
They were so symmetrical. It made
no
sense.
Well, you know, it's a new form of tattooing.
That's true, actually. That's right up there with the branding and the,
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you saw the, Someone did that movie test thing of the of that Mortal Kombat thing where everyone's a serial killer, right?
Oh, good.
Right. So well, good. I thought it was ridiculous that everyone was a serial killer. And
they said that some are assassins and some are serial. You know, you gotta have.
Well, someone was talking about you know, for the Baraka characters, like, why does he have like shit under his forehead? I said, well, when I had heard, there are some people that are really into body modification and they love implanting stuff like that. So that's why. I don't know.
Well, he was like, it says in the thing,
he was
like
a surgeon. He went
surgeon.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What a shock. So, but I you know.
For Bioshock, who was that guy?
Steinman.
Steinman, yeah.
Well, that was, I mean, I like Bioshock a lot.
Bioshock is fantastic.
Yes. We're probably better off that they never made a movie.
Yeah.
Did you ever play the sequel? Because
yes.
I have it. It's short.
Right.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
But...
And, like, we even did it, like, we did it, and we completed it, and watched the ending, and then we went through and watched all the other endings on YouTube.
Yeah. the other endings aren't bad. As usual, I mean, there's no bosses, so it's very easy to get through.
I really liked it. I think, you know, and that's up for, that's, like, what video gamers are holding up is, like, the holy grail to kind of give to Ebert and, like, other film critics.
Oh, the video games is art debate?
Exactly.
I don't like that debate just because... I remember trying to get into that where it's for one thing, to talk about art is such a subjective thing.
Exactly, yeah.
It's way too difficult to even say, is a video game art? To me, I can't really call it that. I can call, if you say took the medium of the video game, you could make an artistic piece out of it. I can't say Super Mario Brothers is art. To me, that is a game. To me, is football, just football itself, a game? Not really. Are there movements or things within the game? So, or like soccer, because I'm watching the World Cup. Are there certain gestures and things that could you consider that to be an art? Yes. But I couldn't consider the overall game itself to be art. To me, that's just the medium to play within the field. Ebert, I mean, it's not realistic to expect a guy in his 60s to understand that. You know, that's just the generational disconnect.
But, I mean, his main argument for it is it can't be art because the viewer is making a choice and it's a different experience for each viewer. And in a way, I
well, art
that.
Is can be a different experience for each viewer.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the point of art. I just think, to me, there may be, you know, if someone did a piece of art in maybe 8-bit style, uh-huh. that's art. But I don't necessarily know if something for an amusement could be considered art. There's got to be something within it. It's too amorphous. The content itself is got to be something about it. And once again, we're getting into stuff that's so tangential.
Yeah.
It's basically like the great Louis C.K. Routine where it's like, basically, things get so abstract you don't even know what the hell you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
Things that are can't be. And it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
But to me, I wouldn't consider something like Super Mario Brothers, the game itself, to be art. Uh-huh. I don't think of it like that because it... But may you know, I don't know.
But I mean, when movies first came, or the moving pictures, or you know, came out, you know, that wasn't art. That was.
But yeah, it was something that someone took the medium and used it to create art. So I wouldn't necessarily consider a mass-produced game to be art. Could it make a statement? Sure. Could it try to present the message? Yes. But I don't necessarily, because once again, we're getting into the whole idea of, you know, what is art.
Right.
So. It's so subjective, you wouldn't have any idea how to play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even the idea of, you know, how do you quantify something as acting, you know? Uh-huh. Is, you know, I remember reading once when they were talking about District 9, they were talking uh-huh. about Charlton Copley, who's uh-huh. He said himself, he's not an actor, but you do feel what he's going for in the movie.
Yeah.
One guy was talking about, well, Neil Blomkamp had tailored the role to fit Copley, mm-hmm. so whatever the hell that means.
Yeah.
So... How do you even quantify someone who is... I mean, that's such an amorphous thing, you know?
Right.
Wouldn't you consider that?
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, there... I think what qualifies as an actor is someone who could, you know, give that performance for different roles, you
mm-hmm.
know? Like, that role was tailor-fit to him, and him as a non-actor could do it because it was himself. But if it called for something else, like, say, it called for him to be a big action hero or something like that...
Well, he did become a big action hero.
Right, but I mean, like, the big stereotypical,
right.
like, badass type of thing, he wouldn't be able to do it because he's not an actor, you
mm-hmm.
know? And
well,
so I think that's where acting comes in.
Well, what would you say then to, like, you know, a lot of, like, there are a lot of actors that just are basically playing themselves.
Yeah.
You know, does that irritate you in any way? I mean, obviously these are, like, the very rich and famous. Although it's
yeah.
not been going so much. The trends that have been going is very much going to lesser-known actors and very much character actors, which I enjoy
yeah.
a lot because I
yeah.
love seeing certain guys get work.
Right.
So you've had, you know, it used to be the big stars that,
uh-huh.
you know, like Tom Cruise is a great example. Now, Tom Cruise... A lot, and people rag on him, and I've even done this. And you got to admit, the guy's had a hell of a career. He's been
yeah.
like a huge number of directors,
mm-hmm.
but he, you know, it's still like, you know, what is he doing here? It's
right.
like it, you know, it's
him. It's
yeah,
him. Yeah.
It's all Jack Nicholson's the same way. So.
Yeah, I think that if you can get, you know, typecast into if your personality is so much like a role that people will want to watch,
mm-hmm.
more power to you. You know, if you're someone that people want to put into movies and people want to pay to go see, then that's your thing, that's your shtick, and that's what you should do,
mm-hmm.
you know. But if you study the craft and you know, actually think of acting as an art or as a skill, you know, I think that you can do that as well, and you should do that, you know.
Hmm.
I think to use the word irritated at someone else as an actor, you know, it's kind of... You shouldn't do that. You
okay.
know? It's there's no point to it. I have the philosophy that everybody gets what they're supposed to get with roles and things like that and big breaks. And you can't say, like, oh, well, he's 2 years younger than me and he's a huge star. Like, why am I not a star yet? You know, that's not going to get you anywhere.
Mm.
Everybody gets what they're supposed to get. And what I've gotten and what other people get, you know, that'll come. And that's what you've gotten.
Well, that's very good. I mean, do you ever think then, because when, you know... There's always a thing I've noticed when anything's been really popular, there's always like someone who's going to try and one-up them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have that concern or anything like that?
I mean,
obviously, you know, what am I saying? You can't think like that, otherwise you're not going to get work.
Exactly.
I mean, so what I'm talking about is completely self-defeating.
No, it's
I was trying to work Justin Bieber into this somehow.
Yeah. Well,
I'm
mean,
kidding,
that's
of course.
Like something like that, like a YouTube star or something like that, that's something that's nobody's ever had to deal with before because that's coming up with this generation or this, you know, time period.
I mean, to me, I've said it before, I don't get angry at the guy because, like, it's not for me. Why do I care? I remember, like, some people would post rants about the guy. I'm like, why do we care?
Yeah.
Why some dude in his mid-20s is not going to care. Although,
right.
you know, unless... I can't even say a gay dude in his mid-20s is going to care, because really, I've never even seen a gay dude in his mid-20s care about Justin Bieber. I mean, unfortunately, when I've listened to 102.7, there people will be calling in for tickets. I'm like, really? Okay, then.
But yeah, I mean, that's just a different type of fame that's been going on. It's the same thing with the advent of, like, reality stars and things like that.
Yeah, I'm not too really crazy about reality stars. I mean, that if anything... I mean, you've said it, you can't get irritated. You know, that's not a good word, but I would... But then they're not going for the stuff you are. That, yeah. It's a whole subset.
Exactly. Like, I'm an actor. They are a distinct personality.
Basically,
that to get popular.
Stuff that takes up space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until the next thing comes along.
Though being a reality star, I've heard, is not a bad gig, because you get paid to go to, like, clubs and things
but
like that.
But then it eventually wears out. And then you're going to be an also.
Yeah.
You're going to burn out fast.
But I mean, you were going to be doing another career anyway. You can go back to whatever career you were going to be doing, you know.
True. I think the only time that ever happened was, like, there was like some show on Bravo, like, in 2002 called The It Factor, and it actually had the guy from the 7-Up commercials, and then it apparently also had Jeremy Renner, which I don't remember at all, and because I saw him in the Hurt Locker, and he's been getting stuff, so I was like, I had no idea he was in that. So there was a case of a reality thing where someone actually took off.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, like...
But that was years down the line.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Not even...
They'll be on a show, and then, like, more of the beginning reality stuff, now they're coming into their own, you know? They're like, oh, that guy was from whatever, or they don't even recognize him, you know?
I used to joke that if I would try to go on The Real World and just not do anything...
Just sit in the corner.
Be not even sit in the corner, just be like, getting a beer out of the fridge, then going back to doing something else, and then just, like, not engaging in any idiotic controversy. Because I have been told a lot, like, the early... I mean, that makes sense, too, that the early Real World seasons were really, really good. Because, I mean, they weren't playing for the camera. It wasn't set up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never watched The Real World, though, so I wouldn't know...
I think I did when I was in my teens.
A little bit. Maybe I've seen, like, some of the stuff on MTV, but... you know, what a shock that it hasn't been any good. Although it cracked me up. They actually, you've heard of the show Hung, right, with Tom Jane?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, the MTV is coming up with, like, a high school version.
That, yeah, I've seen ads for that.
But it doesn't make much sense. It's like, okay, the kid's a total tool, right?
Yeah.
But he's got a huge wang.
How
does that make him popular because he has a huge tool?
Not only that, but, like, how does that even come out in high school, you know? Like...
Someone happened to have a turn the wrong way in gym class.
I guess, yeah, but...
They, you know, trying to check them, you know, check their securities.
It's funny when I see, like, the advertising for it, like, there's a giant billboard of him with, like, his pants down in the middle of a hallway, and I'm like, what?
But once again, it's like, why would that... They're gonna have... Women are gonna want to have sex with this guy because he's got what is the tool attached to? I mean,
I don't know.
The Ron Jeremy factor all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole thing about that is just that it's the idea of the common man being able to nail the porn star.
Mm.
See, it's weird about that. Like, the same thing of, like, that's when I mentioned porn, because they want to have
porn
the experience.
Porn and action go hand in hand out here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole other thing, and. Which is probably why you would avoid any auditioning around this area.
Yep. Yeah, the valley.
I imagine you're aware you could tell if, like, what's related to, you know, if this is a porn audition, or you just have to, or do they post in a certain, you know, a certain thing where it's like, clearly this is adult filmmaking.
Yeah.
Oh, they do.
What?
Is there ever a time when you go to something and it's like where they kind of disguise it, or is it clearly blatant that this is porn?
I've went with a friend of mine, and she was doing some auditioning stuff, and it was for a thing called, like, Chat Girls or whatever, and they advertised it as, like, a reality show where you go in and you do an interview, and they'll pick a couple of girls to put in the house and whatever, win money or something like that.
Okay.
And she was really spooked by the audition, but she wanted to do it, so she took me with, which was a good idea, because it was in this, like, sketchy apartment. It was a guy, and, like, he had a separate room with, like, two computers, and he's like, you just have to sit here on the computer and talk to people, you know? Maybe take your top off, whatever, you know, you make money. And he yelled at her for bringing someone. He's like, you shouldn't bring people to audition.
My God, this is like that one scene in Fame all over
again.
Yeah.
It's really unprofessional, da da da. And she was like, I'm leaving. So
I'm surprised he didn't ask for money up front.
Exactly, yeah. It's just, there's so many scams
out
there.
You would think, though, the reputable porn houses would definitely state who they are in the
beginning. Yeah, I mean, because there are people that want to be porn stars, you know. They'll see that name and, like, oh, well, I want to be a porn star, I'm going to go to this company and I'm going to, you know, audition.
The one thing that will crack me up about porn is, you know, 'cause going back to the idea of the guy, he's there, he's basically putting himself in the place of the porn actor, is that the fact that for whatever reason, and I'll never understand this, the idea of that if there's a condom in the shot, it ruins the experience. I have no idea why.
Huh.
Doesn't happen in gay porn for whatever reason, but like apparently if you put a condom in straight porn, it ruins the whole experience for whatever reason. So they gotta be sleeveless. So for whatever reason, I have no idea what the psychology is behind it. But to be honest, I don't watch a lot of porn anyway, just because I don't like seeing the camera get up all in there.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be a little too much.
It's a little much. You know, Dan Savage said it best. It's like, you know, there's a reason why we can't see certain things. Like, we're in the bedroom. It's like, I don't need...
Yeah, the lights are off.
The lights are off. You know, you just don't want to see certain things, secretions, and the way things stretch and bend.
That nature.
Well, yeah, right. Which I've never seen, thankfully.
I have.
Did you actually make it through the entire thing?
Burned into my memory.
Did you make it through the entire thing?
It was kind of interesting.
Now, it's funny you mention that, because there's been a couple of other famous videos. There's Glass Ass. Did you ever see that?
No.
Oh, I've talked about this.
That sounds awful.
I'll be brief about it, because we've tilled that land before. Glass Ass is basically a guy. It's all it is. It's a shot of his lower half. He squats down on what looks like a pickle jar. He subsumes it up his rectum.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah. Well, let me finish. And then you hear a crack. And the idea is that, now a lot of people suspect this is actually fake, because he just makes no noise. Because the thing's shattered, and then there's blood going everywhere. I've never seen it. People tell me it's fake. And then, I mean, even Kevin Smith talked about this. And then there was the other infamous thing about, like, a guy named Mr. Hands with, like, a horse, and he gets fucked by the horse, and this actually happened. This guy died, and he was an engineer at Boeing. He died because he was being fucked by a horse, not the one in the video.
How did they get the horse to do that?
They mounted him. And he just went. It basically damaged him and killed him.
Oh, jeez.
Because obviously, what a horse has is not meant for what a human's got.
Right, right.
And you can kind of figure out the rest.
Wow.
So these are things, I mean, for the stuff of 4chan, as it's been said before. I've never been on 4chan. I don't plan to be on 4chan.
Never?
Nope, because I don't want to get viruses.
Oh, right.
So it's just not worth it. I can get my creepiness from Craigslist, thank you very much. So, as always, Misconnections is extremely entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing like that. But I think with that, you know, we've definitely, you know, covered a lot of stuff. So is there anything else coming to mind there?
Anything
else you have going
on?
Not related to porn. I'm trying to steer away from porn.
Well, actually, that kind of segues into one of the more featured roles that I've had. Not in porn, but a lot of people have thought it was. Okay, also, as an actor, if there's something that I can tell other, like, struggling actors or whatever out there, do not tell friends and family at home that you're working on a movie, because you will never hear the end of it.
Right.
I've been working on a movie, like, since last September, and we're still shooting, you know, we're still doing reshoots and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I will always get, like, comments like, when can I see your movie? When's that coming out? Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's bad enough that you're waiting for the movie to come out, but then, you know, to have your whole, like, fan base try to do it as well. Just keep it to yourself for a little while, you know, until it gets closer.
Right,
anyway.
You never boast when you're going to have something, because it usually doesn't happen. So
try
to keep that close to the vest.
But, speaking of one of the roles I've had, I had a lead role that I nailed in September. You know, I moved out here in June and auditioned in, like, August for this thing.
Okay.
And I nailed it. I got it. And it's a lead role in a film called Camp Virginovich.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like these two nerdy characters in high school. And I'm the main character, and my cousin brings home this, like, Russian wife or whatever.
Okay.
And so we get the idea, if we want to get laid before senior year, before we go to college or whatever, we should go to Russia. And so we find online this, like, sex camp in Russia.
Right.
And so we get the money together, and we fly to Russia, and we get there, and all these geeky kids are there, and...
Not to undercut the plot, but it's like, the money you would have spent going to Russia, you would have been better off going to a legalized brothel.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I told, like, the character tells his parents that he's going to Israel or something because he's Jewish, so they pay for it.
I'm sure he's very curly-haired.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, Yeah, so, like, I fall in love with the girl you're not supposed to fall in love with. The girls are all Russian. They think it's English camp, and we know it's sex camp, so we try to, like, get with them and stuff like that. And it's a comedy, you know. It's a teen comedy along the vein of, like, Superbad or American Pie, you know. It's got that sex theme to it, but it's not a porn. And so I get that all the time, you know. This is going to ruin you. You're doing porn, da-da-da. You can't do Disney, whatever.
So it has no frontal male nudity.
It does not. And it barely has, like, frontal female nudity, you know.
Well, that's not a good sign.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny. You know, it's all for the comedy. It's sex for comedy's sake, you know.
Right.
And so doing stuff like that, you know, it's just on the borderline of, is this porn or is this comedy? You know, it's all in the editing.
Well, if it was porn, it'd have a lot more nudity.
Exactly, yeah. And a lot of, I think I would actually have sex if it were porn.
Yeah, that can be tough. I mean, Ron Jeremy in his documentary talked about how there's not a lot of porn actors because there are very few guys that have the ability to perform on camera.
Right.
It's not, most guys cannot do it, and especially because they have to have the timing to get my drift right.
Right. Well, I mean, even acting on camera like you're having sex is something that I had to deal with, you know, because
I can imagine that's difficult because how do you not allow yourself to be, you know, get in, you know, get excited?
Well, I mean, like,
or is it because it's so workmanlike you can't get,
like,
excited?
This is my job, like, this is what I do for a living, so I'm there.
I need to dry hump the hell out of this object.
Plus, there's, like, a guy with a camera and, like, 20 people around, like, the makeup artist is there and all the PAs are there and stuff, so everybody's watching you. And it's just not, like, an intimate sexual situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're playing pretend, we're acting, so we have to make it look like it's an intimate situation.
That I still have to imagine it's tough.
It is.
Just because, well, I guess if you know, well, if it's community, clearly, you don't, you know, say you're kissing a fellow an actor, it's like, okay, then yeah, it's a job, you're not going to get into it, you know?
Right, right.
You know, for the layman over here, that can be tough. No, I'm kidding. Because obviously, when you're clearly communicating this is for acting, you understand the context. You should not be, you know, getting emotionally invested in such a way that it will screw you up.
Plus, you do, like, 16 takes. You know, you do her coverage, your coverage, whatever, large coverage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it all the time. It's just not a sexual thing, going back to that sensual versus sexual, you know.
That's why I gotta imagine it would be incredible. It's very difficult to even have sex on camera.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And some, I mean, there was that thing, Short Bus, which I never saw, but the guy who did Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Yeah.
And he had
John Cameron
Mitchell.
John Cameron Mitchell.
Had done Short Bus where the non-actors actually had sex on camera. And I was like, wow. So
Yeah,
I mean, that's something. I saw a documentary called Indie Sex, and it was very, very good, actually. Basically, it's very funny to see porn films from, like, the teens and the 20s where they're doing the same exact stuff as they are now. Wow, you know, so it's certainly something, but, well, I guess, you know, as I was going back to talking about doing a project, I mean, when you're doing this thing now, you're seeing it as, you're definitely doing it for the experience. You don't feel like this is beneath you or anything like that. It's not like, to use an example, like in Galaxy Quest, you know, an Alan Rickman, you know, it was like he was the classically trained Shakespearean actor, and he's always known for as the headgear.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, well, in Harry Potter now.
Oh, well, to me, he's always Hans Gruber.
But, yeah, I mean, when someone comes along and offers you a lead in a feature film and it's paid, you know,
how could you not turn it down?
How could you, yeah. Plus, when I read the script, I laughed out loud, like, actually, LOL, you know. It was really well written, and I thought it was really funny. And so, you know, there was debate over whether we should call it Camp Virginovich. They wanted to call it Sex Camp because they thought it would sell better, and I was like,
No. No, you're going to mislead. That's like that's the free beer analogy.
Exactly, yeah.
No. Because if it's gonna be sorely disappointed anyone who's looking for nudity.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that if people are to see the movie, you know, even see the preview or whatever, they can tell that it's a comedy, it's a teen comedy, and not something that, you know, is beneath me or whatever.
Okay.
Do I want to be known for doing teen comedies? No, but it's fun, you know.
Well, I mean, in the case of, say, and I may have asked this before, where, like, you're handed a project where you can clearly see, you know, this is, as they would say, a hot mess.
Right.
So, but you are getting paid.
Uh-huh.
Do you just suck it up? I mean, obviously you are. I mean, you are getting paid. So
yeah.
You know, do you just, you know, you put aside your artistic integrity and, like, look, well, this is a job, and I'm going to do you still want to give it your all, or are you going to just, like, as I said, going back to phoning it in?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not even that, you know, it's just a job and I'm doing it because I get paid. I love being on set and I love playing different characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to do a feature and to be a lead in a feature because you get to develop this character over a long period of time. When you're just like a bit part or something, you're there for the day, you say your funny line, and then you go home.
Mm-hmm.
But like as a lead, you get to see a character grow, you know, and there is a journey that's being had there.
Okay.
And so for me, I think it's a great exercise. It's not, oh, I'm doing this because I have to and it's work. I think it's fun and I think it's interesting, and I get to play this like finicky, geeky character that, you know, is really close to what I actually am.
Right.
So.
Well, no, it's interesting you say that, because that really does put things in perspective of, like, why does someone say they were in a role of, like, a really god-awful movie?
Mm-hmm.
But then you're putting in perspective of that, well, you're still working on your character. You're working with the material you've got.
Exactly, yeah. And so, you're making something.
Because it really has nothing that, you know, no bearing on what, you know, whether or not the script is a total mess or total garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and if it's anything, it's one more notch in the belt. So you would never feel like, oh, what the hell was I thinking doing this, you know, many moons ago.
Yeah, I mean, like, even if it's brought up later on, like, if I become more successful and this movie flopped or whatever, or it didn't, or it became a cult hit or something like that, if it gets brought up as, like, this awful movie or whatever, it's still being talked about. No publicity is bad publicity.
Mm.
If I make a bad movie and people realize that it's a bad movie, that means that they've seen it. And I'd rather have someone have seen a bad movie that I was in and recognize it than not do anything at all. You know, sit in my apartment.
Yeah, right.
And check Craigslist, you know, until I find the dream acting job that I can do. Or
yes.
Keep hitting them for Power Ranger gigs until they recognize that I'm not
right.
at all.
Yes.
So I'd rather, you know, better to have done something than nothing at all.
Well, that's very good. That's certainly very interesting. And
all my mantras for what I tell myself to get through the day.
All right. Well, as long as it's not Serenity Now and you don't keep saying the same things when you're pissed off. But I'm sure whatever happens, you'll do better than Jeremy London.
Oh, hopefully. So,
well, I don't think you'll be looking like you've been force-fed chicken fingers for 20 years. I didn't even come up with that. I actually read that somewhere.
Oh.
So we'll see how it goes. But it's certainly been a pleasure having you here.
Yeah,
now,
thank
once
you so
again,
much.
You know, for the listeners out there, if you want to talk about your trip to Haiti once again, let's get that out there.
Yeah, again, we're going out to Haiti. We need to raise around $3,000 to cover the cost for two of us to go out there and be self-sustaining so we can help out. And, just email me at xanderje, that's xanderje, at gmail.com.
Mm.
And you can also email me with questions or anything about what we talked about on the show.
Yeah, why not?
On the board, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, especially on the Braindead Radio forums. So with that, for the Ed Hawken Show, I'm Ed Hawken.
And I'm Xander Jeanneret.
Keep it classy.